Hi, my name is Isabella. I am 16 years old. Today is January 3rd, and I'm speaking with Dana Jackson, who is my mom. We are recording this in Fairfax, Virginia. Okay. Would you like to say anything before we start?
No, thank you.
Okay. The first question. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Let me give you some background on this. So this is StoryCorps. Basically, the goal is to create like a big archive of stories of just like humanity and get to hear different perspectives. It's really cool. And then it's all stored in the Library of Congress in DC.
Cool.
So yeah. Okay. First question. Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories?
I really can't think of anything except when you were born.
Tell me about it.
It was a scary, scary day because I had been at the hospital for 10 hours and then they said I have to have emergency C-section and I was super frightened of surgery. I still am. And it was a lot of pain, but a couple of days after I came out of the anesthesia funk, I had you, and I decided that besides you and Brianna, which is my cat, that I would be happy if that's all I had. And it was awesome, and it's been awesome ever since then for almost 2 decades.
Did you anticipate that being such an important thing before it happened?
Yeah, I always knew that I wanted to have a kid. I didn't really care if I was a single parent or not.
Yeah.
I just knew that a kid was more important to me really than, I guess, a husband. I mean, of course, I wanted to be married, but I was like, after I had you, I said, if your dad leaves, I'm okay with that because I felt like everything was complete.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to the next question. What are you proudest of in your life?
I think I'm proudest of the fact that I always persevere and I have worked for myself basically for probably like 25 years for the most part. I've had a couple of years, maybe 5 years within that time where I've worked for companies or done contracts, but I haven't been wealthy as a result of the things I've done. A lot of it's being a single parent, but other parts, I just like doing things for myself. It makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super educated, but I don't like working for people that I'm smarter than, that treat me like crap, and I make money for them, and they get further ahead, and I'm just like a cog in their machine. So I think working for myself and being able to maintain a decent standard of living, live in a decent place, and raise you. And I mean, I've had setbacks here and there, but I'm pretty happy with the freedom I've had. I would not be happy in a corporate situation.
Yeah. So you'd rather be free and independent to do as you please than be stuck in a box, mm-hmm. per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I'm not, I'm easy to get along with. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can be friends with anyone. I can have a good working relationship with people, but oftentimes you end up doing things you hate just because it, you know, pays well. And I would rather make less and do something that I'm decently satisfied with, mm-hmm. even if it's not professional. Just to be like, I'm at home at night watching a movie and not stressed out about what I have to do at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peace of mind and I like it.
And have you always been like this, or was there something that changed your mindset?
Yeah, I've been like this a lot. When I was out of college, I dropped out of college after 2 years because my mom would not pay for college anymore because I did not do well. I did little contract jobs. I would do I did a lot of store openings. Like there would be a new Walmart or a new Claire's or a new record place, and I would go in and set the store up. And I did a lot of temporary jobs. A lot of it had to do with the fact my mom was a manager at the Department of Labor. So she would send me all these temporary jobs, and they paid twice what normal jobs did because they were temporary. So I would get, in the 90s, you know, $8 or $9 an hour, which was a lot when minimum wage is like $8 now.
Yeah, more than I got paid.
And minimum wage was like 3 something.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed them, and I took a job for about 6 months with my roommate, working for Philip Morris, the tobacco company. It was driving this Marlboro van. It was kind of embarrassing, but it paid a lot. They paid for our food. We got to stay in Marriott hotels, go to different towns, and I was like 20, 21, I guess. It was fun. And then it ended, and then, you know, I waited tables and did a couple of other jobs, you know, temporary. Then I went back to college, and with college, a full-time job is not easy. So I started a cleaning service and did that for 6 years. Also, had a couple of other part-time jobs with it, could set my own schedule, and it's just, I get that from my grandfather, because he had a third grade education. He had to quit school to take care of his mother and his siblings, and he lied about his age to get in World War II to go to the military early, and then he came out of the war and he started a general store, and then he started a construction company, so he never worked for anybody. Nobody else in the family's like that.
Yeah, like paved his own future. Cool. The next question. How has your life been different than what you'd imagined? And maybe to break it down, what did you imagine your life to be now?
When I was little, I wanted to be a soap opera star, which was a big deal in the 80s and even in the 90s. But I did not have the confidence or really accessibility to acting. My brother did acting. My mom did not let me do the things she let my brother do. I wanted to be, you know, be in a talent contest. My mom said, no, what if you don't win? She never would get me voice lessons. She never just gave me the opportunity. I wanted to go, like, to the fame school, like, and go there, like, with my instrument, because I was really good at my instrument. I was like, I want to move to New York. I want to go to school there, high school there. I don't want to live here anymore. Anyway, I thought I would be something big, I think, whether Broadway or playing an instrument for an orchestra, or maybe having a talk show like Oprah. I always thought I would be big. And I went to college. I took this test at the counseling office at the college, and it was saying how dog-eat-dog news anchors were, because I was like, my dream was to be a news anchor for the 96 Olympics. And I was so excited, but then I just got scared. I think fear held me back. But I thought I would be, I think, famous, or a famous writer or something. I still, in the back of my mind, I feel like I could be a writer, but I haven't taken the time to dedicate to it. Because I've been a parent for almost 2 decades. Between being pregnant and being a parent, I thought it would be bigger. But I'm happy with what it is, because you're successful. And I think you're going to be that person. You're going to be that Broadway star. You're going to be... So I'm content with that. But I'm not trying to live through it. I didn't push it on you. I never even brought up acting to you. I mean, people approached me when you were little about you being a model, and I told them no, not until she's old enough to make the decision. So I am kind of living vicariously, but not in an unhealthy way, because I haven't pushed it. So I think it's turned out the way I wanted, because you're going to be successful, so I'm happy with that.
Do you believe in the butterfly effect?
Never really thought about it.
It's like every choice you make unlocks like a new pathway and another way that your life can go.
Maybe. I mean, I think God, you know, affects a lot of things. I don't understand everything about God, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, if I would have done this, I would have, you know, God applied to be in the Navy after 9/11 happened. I never heard back from
him. You did?
Yeah. And if I would have applied as an officer, because I had a college degree and I could have gone into officer training school, I wouldn't have had to go to basic. And I definitely don't want to go to basic. I'm not going to, don't want to be at the bottom of the barrel and be sweating and running all the time. So I was like, officer school sounds great. I can fight back for my country. I never heard back from them. I'm glad I didn't, because I probably wouldn't have you. Things wouldn't have lined up. So I think, I mean... And I think sometimes you're in circumstances because of things you don't do. You know, like, people are like, oh, work harder. I've worked really hard. I haven't landed where I want to. I believe it'll happen someday. but I'm happy with the way things are because we have a decent life, and a lot of people, 90% of people in this world would be happy to have the place that we do and live where we are, because 90% of the world is poorer than we are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of my choices, I wasn't serious about school when I was younger. I had no concept of college. My mom did not go to college. Mm-hmm. So even though her parents had money, she got married. Mm-hmm. And so she couldn't tell me how to study and what to prepare for, and I had nothing to go on. Mm-hmm. So even though I have multiple degrees and I'm not really using them, I mean, I'm more educated than she was, but I've also educated you more. So mm-hmm. I guess I believe, I don't know what I believe, but I do believe part of it's work and part of it's just chance. Mm-hmm. What happens to people.
Yeah.
Because there are people that work forever. Like Jennifer Hudson got an Oscar role. There are people that have been actors for 30 years that don't have an Oscar.
Yeah.
She was in one thing and she got an Oscar. And, you know, it's just, I just think it's chance. Mm-hmm. And hard work.
Yeah. Healthy mixture of the two. Okay, our next question. How would you like to be remembered?
I think as a happy person, not as a fighter, because I'm more of a fighter, really. Like, I started the advocacy to open schools and to push back against the bad school system. But I feel like that's kind of negative. I mean, it's a positive outcome, but it's still, like, things people don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I think I want to be, you know, someone who touched a lot of people's lives and was positive and happy, but I think that if your circumstances are not, you know, laid out nicely, sometimes it's hard to be that person. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom was positive and happy, though, even though she was in a bad marriage. A lot of people have nothing but good things to say about her. I think I just want to be remembered as funny and, you know, giving, and I would love to be remembered as a great writer. So that's my next, mm-hmm. when you graduate, that's what I'm going to focus on, so I can be published and maybe have leave that kind of legacy. Mm-hmm. I guess being a good person, being a good parent.
Well, going off what you said about your mom and the way she was perceived, I think a lot of it goes with the time period that people were raised in, right? Because when she was raised, I feel like women are kind of, and I think you can agree to this, that at the time, like, even if they're having strife with their husband or whatever, we're kind of just taught to just pretend like everything's fine. And so I feel like, especially with my generation, where I feel like Gen Z just tries to, you know, for better or worse, bring a lot of things to the surface and try to advocate, whereas a lot of it ends up being, I don't think too much is the right term. I think a lot of it ends up being presentational, not real. But there are a lot of advocates where I feel like, you know, the last, I think, like, two or three generations are just generally more unhappy.
I think my generation is happier than your generation, happier than millennials, and happier than
I agree with that, but I think as it goes on, it gets worse.
Yeah, I do. I think Generation X is a happy medium, because my mom's generation, their parents were coming out of the Great Depression, so mm-hmm. their parents were misers and were worried about everything and, mm-hmm. and taught them to work, and that's it, you know, mm-hmm. no dreams. Then they, you know, came along and sort of didn't parent because they went to work. So there was no parent at home. Mm-hmm. And then the boomers kind of let their kids do whatever they wanted. And the boomers had the millennials mm-hmm. and told the millennials they were perfect and that they did nothing wrong. And Generation X, we're just in the middle, kind of like, I guess, trying to be better versions of our parents, but not be so rigid.
I think it's more in the middle, but I think Gen X is less presentational, which gets to the point I was saying before, where I feel like it's easy for a lot of the older generations to us, to especially women, like mothers and grandmothers and stuff like that, I think, to appear more like cheery because I feel like that's just how it was instilled within society. Whereas as the generations go on, it's more, things have gotten looser and looser and more level as far as the discrepancies between genders, in my opinion. And I think people are more allowed to be more expressive, because I know a lot of the times with Gigi, I feel like she was not closing herself off. What is the word I'm looking for? Inhibiting herself because of the relationship she was in, when I think she could have done a lot more, you know? But I just think that's the way she was raised, you know? So I just think that's interesting. If there was one word that people would remember you by, like actor, or what would it be? What would you want it to be?
I guess loyal.
Dana Jackson, loyal.
Yeah. Loyal friend, you know, someone you can trust. Loyal to a cause.
Yeah.
Loyal to, you know, anybody that, you know, I come in contact with, who I have a relationship with.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Okay. Next question. For future generations of your family listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
You know, I think, do not be a people pleaser. I feel like I and you, we have people that are intimidated or jealous of us. And, you know, I look around, I was looking at some people on Instagram today, recommended some of your teen friends, some people that I really detest, who made your life hell. And I was looking at the comments, oh, you're beautiful, you're so great. And I'm thinking, this person's a monster, a freaky monster who is a jerk. I'm such a nice person. My kid's such a nice person. Why have people done us like this? I think, you know, people pleasing, you know, I guess that doesn't even make sense. I think we're too nice, which kind of leads to people pleasing. I think, you know, put yourself out there, but don't be too open too fast. Because if people think that you're too open, they'll just run over you and take advantage of your, you know, kind heart. Don't be a people pleaser. Don't be too hard on yourself. And don't act like the moment you're in is a life-defining moment. When you were in eighth grade, you got bullied by an idiot who I hate, the same person I'm talking about from the Instagram. And the end of the day, she wasn't special, and she, you were, and it's not a biased thing, but, you know, at that time it seemed like, oh my gosh, it, you know, it affected your life for like a year. And, you know, there's no moment in your life, unless maybe death, like my mom died, that's affected me for years. Mm-hmm. It'll affect me for years. But, you know, a job getting, you know, getting fired, or having a breakup, or, you know, having a friend betray you, those are not life-defining moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't define who you are, and I just think that people need to be strong in who they are and believe in themselves and don't rely on man. And when I mean man, I mean another human. Humanity. To put your happiness in. You got to find happiness in yourself. And I think the relationship with God is important. I do not know, you know, everything about God, but I read little scriptures and I say prayers, and I feel like I want to be that person that's like, I got God, that's all I need. I'm not there, but that would be awesome, because I do have friends that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. They go, oh, I just talk to God, I pray about him. Like, I try to fix everything myself. So I guess, long story short, because I ramble, don't be a people pleaser. Love yourself. You know, put your faith in God, not man.
Mm-hmm.
And don't open yourself up too much, because the world is harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And people are monsters. And there are great people in the world, but there are a lot of people that just suck. And, you know, don't let those people, you know, influence how you feel about yourself.
Yeah. Look at the bigger picture overall.
Mm-hmm.
Touching back on generational stuff, I was having an interesting discussion in my AP Lang class a few weeks ago, and we were talking about how our generation and the next generation are so desensitized to violence, to sexual things, to vulgarity, because we grew up in a social media age. So with that in mind, I mean, anytime there's, it's like, I mean, the easiest parallel would say, like, if during 9/11 happened, but in the time period now, like, where we all had phones and we were engrossed in social media, imagine how much more, I don't know, traumatizing it would be, how, like, everywhere it would be, because it's like, yeah, you know, people saw it on...
Yeah, we had phones that we didn't have. The internet had only been out for about 4 years.
And there weren't smartphones at that point.
There was no smart... You had a laptop, but, I mean, like, I saw it happen on television.
Yeah, and people saw
it on... heard it on the radio.
People saw it on televisions, people saw it on radio, but to take, like, a current event, something that happened, like Astrofest or whatever, where all those people died, before it even broke the news, I was getting videos of the literal, like... unconscious bodies on TikTok of people being dragged and, like, yeah, that were probably dead.
I can't imagine the videos that would have surfaced, because, I mean, I remember watching people jump out of that building on 9/11.
Uh-huh.
And that was traumatizing to see it in real time. But if there would have been 200 people on the ground with cameras, we would have seen
worse. Imagine all of the perspectives that you would get and how gory and detailed it would get, right? So
it was terrible.
Keeping that in mind and taking all of that into account, how does that also frame for the future generations, where all they will know is social media? What is your advice to them as well?
I personally think it's going to end up being full circle, where something's going to happen with social media and it's not going to be the big thing anymore. I feel like our government's headed towards socialism, and like China or communism, whatever, it's kind of the same thing. China, you know, really limits their social media. And yeah. I just think people need to get back to the basics. You know, mm-hmm. I answered this question. I answered some question yesterday on somebody's, I don't even know what it was on, but it said, what do you miss most about, you know, being younger, before cell phones and stuff? And I said, communication.
Yeah.
We have all this communication and people don't talk.
Yeah.
And I think just getting to know friends, spending time with friends,
mm-hmm.
like, you record conversations and send it to a friend. It's just so stupid. When we were younger, we called people, and if the phone was busy, we'd call back. You know, if nobody answered, we just talked to them the next day. We weren't reached around the clock, and that was okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think spending time with family, spending time with friends, having real conversations, reading books, you know, just living for the moment and just not letting the moment be through your device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's definitely worrisome, because I know, and some of my fellow classmates were talking about it too, that we've seen some stuff that kids just shouldn't see and have been exposed to stuff because, you know, and I didn't even grow up on the internet. That's
no,
the thing.
You didn't.
But also a lot of people
were 11 before you even had an iPad, and you were looking at crafts for
but
2 years.
Still, like, people in Gen Z, there's still the people that are like me, where their childhoods, there wasn't, like, smartphones out yet, because the first iPhone dropped in 2008. So there was still at least that little bit of time where it was just, you know, TV, and you're watching PBS or Nick or Disney Junior or whatever, that wasn't out then, but, you know, stuff like that. But the generations now start with social media, and there are so many different types of technology that are now aimed towards kids. You know, when I was younger, the best thing that there was like a Leapfrog, which I didn't even have. But, or like DS, but now...
And I wouldn't let you get that.
Yeah, but now, you know, you meet... I mean, the other day I met an 8-year-old who had just got an iPhone 13. I'm like, why do you need that, you know? You're a little kid. You should have, like, a flip phone like the rest of us, you know?
Shouldn't have a phone at all.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think that's something interesting to consider. And I worry for my kids and the future, because, you know, with some of the stuff that I've been exposed to against my will, I'm like, I feel like it could only get worse.
Well, you just don't allow your kids to have their phones and treat them the way I treated you. I mean, I work for a family right now. They have 3 kids and none of them have electronics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't even watch television.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to our very last question. Are there things about me that you've always wanted to know but have never asked?
To be honest with you, I feel like I know more about you than most people know about their children.
Hmm.
I mean, you talk to me a lot. You tell me a lot of things. You tell me, I mean, I guess there are things that you told me later that I was kind of mad that I would have been glad to know about. Like, you know, about people like bullying you at school or things that happened like you told me the other day. But I feel fortunate to know a lot about you. A lot of teens and children don't talk to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get yes and no answers and they don't sit down and have conversations like this. We're recording this, but we have conversations about things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess if I would ask anything, it would be like, maybe, how do you feel about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Second question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And the third question, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Hmm. Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
First question, I, since like last year, have been at a pretty good spot with myself. This is just a product of, like, quarantine and stuff, but obviously, like, I never procrastinated before, but now it's a terrible trait of mine. But I think the positive of that is that I've learned to be a little lenient with myself when it comes to things and not want to, like, kill myself over the smallest things. Like, you know, grades are very important to me, but when I took that math test that I knew I was going to fail, and I got my grade back, I was like, you know what? It's now my job to work to make this up. And, like, I know I'm going to have to. Whereas if I got that in freshman year or even last year, I would have bawled my eyes out and, like, probably had a mental breakdown. So, like, that's nice. I think I've learned to find more balance when it comes to work versus life. Because not only, I think, in this past, you know, couple years, I've learned how important experiences are, like, in life. Because talking about, you know, going back to a few questions ago, talking about the bigger picture, right? It's like, yeah, you know, I'm always thinking, like, 5 steps ahead. But the problem with that is that I get so engrossed with the future that I stunt my growth in my present. And, you know, that might be like, oh, no, like, I can't hang out because I'm doing homework or, like, stuff like that and not allowing myself to have fun because I'm so focused on certain things. So I'm glad that I've become more lenient on that, but not in a detrimental way. Like, I'm still keeping my grades up. I'm still mm-hmm. in honor societies and
I encourage
doing
you.
All this stuff.
I always say, you have a car, go hang out with a friend.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at, like, mentally. I'm pretty chill.
What do you think about yourself? You. What do you think about you? How do you feel about yourself?
I mean, I think I kind of, I mean, I don't know. I'm chilling. Like, I
you know, you're a beautiful person. You know,
yeah.
You're smart. You're not the person you were in middle school.
No.
You've grown.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
I was very insecure, and I still have my insecurities, but I don't let it...
everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does,
I
don't let it engulf me and, you know, take over and come out in multiple different ways, you know? I don't know. Physically, I think I'm pretty. I definitely think I can work to be better, and I will, but I'm happy with myself right now. 2, where do I see myself in 5 years? The goal is, you know, I've just graduated college. Oh gosh,
I don't want to think about that.
I've just graduated college, you know, and I'm doing something I love, and it's the arts. It has to do with the arts. And, you know, at this point, I hope it's Broadway and it's performing, but, you know, my close friend was saying this to me the other night. He was saying that he knows that I'm going to, in some form, even if it's not performing on a stage doing Broadway, but, you know, or it is, like, that I will have an impact on a lot of people in some way, and I will find my way to success, and I will be very successful. And
I know you will.
And I agree. And kind of what you were saying earlier, like, I do not see myself doing anything but the arts, even if it's me being a production assistant on a TV show or, you know, being a grip or, like, anything. Like, I just can't see myself doing
an office job
or being a scientist or a teacher, or I just can't. Like, I have to be creative in some way because it's just how I'm wired.
I think it's great because that's what I wanted to do, and I didn't take the leap. Uh-huh. That's why I've pushed you to get the degree. Most parents would say, don't get that degree. Are you crazy? Yeah. I'm like, please get that degree. You'll be happy.
And so that's all I really care about, just doing something I love, you know? Even, and this isn't going to happen, but just say I went to college and then I never got booked ever. Like, at least I got to say that I spent 4 years doing something that I loved. And then there are always 200 million other options, you know? I think people are too focused on, I don't know, going on this very linear path where the only way is up. But that's not realistic, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, you might do some little side things like casting or some kind of production mm-hmm. assistant or...
So either way.
So 10 years, grandchildren.
Grandchildren? How old am I? 17? 27?
I'll be very happy.
I mean, hopefully in 10 years I'll be married to Andrew Garfield. But
I'll be happy with one grandchild in 10 years.
Would you be happy with Andrew Garfield?
I don't know about that.
That's the goal. Did I break this Eiffel Tower?
He's kind of old.
Nah. It's only 20 year difference. Anyway. realistically, I don't know. I hope at that point that I've just, like, found myself completely, you know, because I don't think it makes sense to throw yourself into anything, really, especially, like, relationships if you don't even have a clue of who you are yourself, mm-hmm. you know, so...
A lot of women by 25 kind of know who they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes men 5 to 10 years longer, I think. And then I don't care what people say. That's biased. It's men are immature. Not all. There's mm-hmm. some men at 21, they're ready to get married. And they're the best husbands ever. I mean, but I think that 25, 26, 27, you're the person that you're going to be. You know, you kind of are settled into who you are at that point. So
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
But yeah, so, that was everything. What, would you say about this experience?
I think it was fun. I was dreading it because I looked at the time and I said, oh gosh, because I'm lazy, it's winter and I like to hibernate. It was fun though. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I like talking to you.
Yeah. I always, before we wrap up, I always think about how everybody has, you know, their own story. And I think sometimes we all get so caught up within ourselves that we don't think about that. Sometimes I feel like I go into, like, existentialism because I'll just be sitting, like, in my car driving. And I'll look to my right and I see someone driving and maybe it looks like they're talking on the phone or something. Or maybe they're singing along to a song. And I'm like, I wonder if they're singing to, like, a Broadway song. Like, are they someone who wants to be an actress as well? Did they go to school? Did they not? Did they you know, were their dreams faltered? Do they want to do something, but they can't, you know? I don't know. I just think it's interesting that everybody has dreams and aspirations, and I think we don't think about that enough. And I think mm-hmm. this is a cool opportunity to get some insight into a bunch of different people's stories and perspectives. So, yeah. Do you want to say bye?
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Happy 2020.
2022.
Oh, gosh.
Gross.